B-Pod Studios.
Going around the league, talking to people, interviewing people, and getting some opinions on Carson Wentz. Sal Powell, what are they saying?
Michael, how are you?
Good.
Doing some quarterback. Third year in a row, I've done my quarterback convos all over the country. You know, there's two things you don't want to hear when you're on the road. One is, we have an equipment problem, and we're going to be delayed out of Terminal C for the next foreseeable future. Now, you don't want to hear that.
No, that's terrible. Have you heard that?
And then you don't want to hear your easy pass balance is low when that little yellow flashing light comes on.
Yes.
I heard both of those in the last 2 weeks. Not good.
Yeah. but your assignments have been really good assignments. I've been watching you. You're sitting down with Gruden the other day. What are people, first of all, saying about Carson Wentz as you travel around?
Well, I think they're scared of the Eagles, Michael. Mm-hmm. There's no question. Everywhere I go, I was with the Rams and Raiders in that practice when I called in last week from Napa. And, you know, I talked to the Rams, who are considered the creme de la creme in the NFC. They're the defending champs of the conference. And they all are asking me, all the players, a lot of the coaches, scouts, personnel people, hey, what do you see in Philly? What do you see with their lineup? What do you see them doing? You know, and I say, listen, I watch some of the practice, but they don't give a whole lot of it away. But what I see is very, very impressive. I said, you've got to be impressed with the way Carson Wentz has come in. He looks in good shape. They're banged up in certain positions, just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But they got a lot of depth on offense. And, you know, I think teams around the league have taken notice of what Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson have assembled. And, you know, it's really interesting, Michael, because I watched, you know, I'm not a nutcase. I don't watch every down on film of these preseason games. I have a life, you know. I'm not I'm not a grinder with film study. But there were certain things that stood out to me, some good, some bad, in that first preseason game against the Titans.
All right, what stood out that was bad?
Well, I knew you would go there first.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, what stood out, I didn't like the pass protection at all. I was shocked that the Tennessee Titans blitzed as much as they did in the game.
Yeah, they really did. Which a lot of people thought was a violation. But
I did. If you're going to blitz, and no one has asked Doug Peterson this, because I've gone through the transcripts. I haven't been at Doug's press conferences in about a week and a half because I've been traveling. But no one has asked Doug Peterson, after the Titans game, did Mike Vrabel, the Titans head coach, give you a heads up? Because a lot of these coaches will do that. They'll say, we're scripting these plays, or on defense, we're going to try out this overload blitz. You know, they will give you a heads up in the preseason. It's customary to do that. It's a gentleman's agreement that the preseason, you're out there to knock especially the other quarterback out. They went after Sudfeld. You saw how he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
To me, and I know Vrabel very, very well, covered him, like him, I thought it was a total violation. Total. I thought that was the one thing that struck me. And, you know, just looking individually in pass protection, I know a lot of people like what they saw from Jordan Mailata. And I want to see more at right tackle from Jordan, because it's sort of a put up or shut up preseason for him and those people who are coaching him have done a good job. But, you know, he's basically a guy who ran with the ball in rugby and didn't have much occasion to do much blocking. So he's come from nowhere and he's gotten a lot better. But I think when you look at him, he still looks like he will be susceptible to any kind of spin move, any kind of defensive end that has any kind of repertoire in his ability to rush the passer. He's very good, Jet Mailata, at pushing guys outside the pocket, making them go around the horn. But a couple of times when the defensive end would spin inside, Mailata was too stiff and too slow to react.
Well, hopefully he won't have to play and Lane stays healthy.
People are talking a lot about him, mm-hmm. and I'm not so sure about him, Mike.
All right, now what was the good part of the Titans game for you?
I thought the defensive line was very good overall. I liked what I saw from the Eagles defensive line, especially some of the younger guys. I liked what I saw from the secondary. I love what I saw from Miles Sanders. I think Miles Sanders got a little bit of a taste. I think Miles Sanders is going to lead the team in rushing over Jordan Howard.
Sounds good. I like it. I have to defer because I didn't think he was going to, you know, he didn't impress me that much as a Penn State running back, but hopefully he is that that go-to running back. All right, you had
what was interesting? How about Doug Peterson saying before the game, well, I guess it was the day before, 2 days before, what do you want to see from Miles Sanders, Doug? We want to see that explosiveness. We want to see him hold on to the football.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the big thing with him.
Like, I never heard anybody, a coach say that about a running back before a preseason game.
Yeah, they got his mind on it, that's for sure.
Because, hold on to the football.
Yeah, all right, so you sat down with Carson, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so give me some highlights of your conversation with Carson. How's he come off to you right now?
Extremely confident in what he thinks he can do for an entire season. I think that's the key that people need to know. You can look at the full conversation on ESPN.com right now. The guy who edited it did a tremendous job. It's really well done. I think the one thing that you get from Carson is that he dedicated his heart, mind, and body to getting himself ready so that he lasts for 16 games. I think he's changed 100%. I think he's a changed guy. I think he understands the opportunity that he missed. I think he's desperate to get back there. He wants to be the one that holds up the Lombardi Trophy in an Eagles uniform. I think he's supremely grateful that he's in Philadelphia. He loves it in Philadelphia. He loves playing for the Eagles. And I think he's totally dedicated. I interviewed him, Michael, the day he was drafted, the day he showed up at Novocare. And I interviewed him last week, and they are two different people. One is this guy is much more mature. He understands the responsibility. He totally gets it. I asked him first question out of the park, Michael. I said to him, listen, you hear it. You hear it, Carson. I said, you hear it all the time. You're in the wah-wah. Whatever you're doing, you're up. You hear it on there. You listen to it. Well, the Eagles will cope. The Eagles will go 13-3 if
he stays healthy.
If he stays healthy.
Yes.
You hear? I said, you hear? He goes, yeah, I understand it. I get it. I want to put a stop to it.
Okay, good. And you put a stop to it by getting rid of the ball and not taking on people.
Yes. Get rid of the football, Michael.
That's how you stop it.
That's it. Don't stand back there and pat and drift in the pocket. Get the ball out of your hands. If you learn anything from Nick Foles, and you should learn something from Nick Foles, Nick Foles takes it right from Tom Brady's playbook. Ball out of your hands, snap the release in under 2.5 seconds. That's how you stay upright. That's how you play into your 40s. That's how you win Super Bowls.
All right. Enough football. I asked you this last question because we just played the audio. I don't know if you heard
okay,
it.
Okay, here we go. No,
Did you hear the Chris Cuomo audio?
I saw it in the New York Post website.
Okay. All right. So
but I did not hear it.
All right. So a guy obviously trying to troll him. He's with his family, and he's walking the street in Manhattan, and a guy calls him Fredo. And Chris Cuomo freaks on the guy, saying it's an anti-Italian slur. Now, listen, we can't help our DNA. We've occasionally experienced the Italian-American red ass. So was he out of line when he went back at the guy saying that it was an anti-Italian slur? Was it, you have any reaction on that at all?
Well, Michael, you know,
you got to hear it. Did you actually hear
it? I will hear it.
Yeah, you got to listen to it.
There really isn't a worse slur in my mind than calling an Italian-American male Fredo.
Really?
I don't think there's a worse one.
Huh.
But all the connotations that it has, I got to tell you, you could call me a lot of things. That's not one of them.
All right, that it affects you. You see, I look at it like Fredo's demeaning in a different way than Guido is. But yeah. I can see your point as well, and he obviously took it the way you took it.
Fredo gets taken out by his own brother because he betrayed his own family.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing you could call anybody. It doesn't matter what ethnic group they are.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's fair.
You know, Fredo's Judas.
Okay.
He's the modern Judas character created by Francis Ford Coppola. And I don't think there's really much worse than that.
All right. Do yourself a favor. Listen to it. Sal, always a pleasure, brother. We'll talk to you.
Now you sound like my old man. Hey, Salvatore, do yourself a favor.
Exactly. Listen to it. Let's see, and we'll talk on the side. All right. We'll talk to you. There he is, Sal Palantonio, checking in on a Tuesday. We will take a break. Well, Sal, there you go.
Sal would have been reacting maybe like Chris Cuomo.
Sal doesn't react. Sal is, he's got the red ass like me. But I don't know if he would react that way.
He doesn't seem you could easily.
Plus, nobody would troll him like that because he's in a different world. He's like, you know, there's no reason for Democrats and Republicans to get at Sal. Like there's a reason for Cuomo. Right. So Sal's doing sports. So probably wouldn't happen. All right. Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.